Welcome to the Word Warren. I'm joined by Justin, as always. Hannah on the board over there.
Beep boop.
And our special guest, Tiffany.
Hello.
And we're going to be talking about romance.
Books.
Romance.
All right.
Books as opposed to...
I don't know.
Inner office romances.
Inner office romances. Today we're going to be giving you all the hot gossip.
Mm-hmm. Spill that.
Right. Did a bunch of research again, because I honestly don't read a lot of romance. I have read some romance, but not a ton, so I don't, you know. I even went to the Romance Writers of America website.
Oh.
Yeah, and they have a very specific definition of what a romance novel is.
I don't even know the definition.
Yeah.
It's, I've read thousands.
Yeah. It has to have a central love story and an emotionally satisfying and optimistic ending.
Oh, so that is a requirement.
Yeah.
I'm just always happily
surprised,
though I shouldn't be.
It's like a criteria to be in the genre.
It literally is the criteria. And I'm like, yay,
happy. You clap every time it happens. It's like the ice cream man shows up and eats ice cream and you're like, ah,
they have ice cream.
This is amazing.
That makes so much sense. I've always been like, why don't any of these romance books end horribly?
That is like, that I want them why. Not to that get together.
Why. I think that definition like destroys the examples I have because none of them end in the satisfying way.
Yeah.
We'll listen to your examples anyway.
Yeah, I'm still curious to know. Yeah.
I mean, it just depends. It depends on if you were Team Jacob or Team Edward.
So, I didn't know we were getting into that fight.
Was it satisfying? It depends. Depends on what team you're on.
Okay.
I was not satisfied.
Okay.
He was rooting for the werewolves.
He was rooting for the werewolves.
You know,
I mean, he doesn't love werewolves.
We could literally have our own podcast argument.
I don't think there would be much of an argument. It's pretty straightforward.
Really. Yeah. And we're done.
I mean, the way that Edward treats people is... Hannah has thoughts.
I have thoughts about that whole series, but I understand that you love that series. So, Poe, I will...
I don't know why you got to bring Poe into this.
Keep it to
myself. I was perfectly happy thinking about Jacob.
All right, so Sarah, tell us a little bit about romance.
Okay, so I also went to a literary terms like website, and so what we think of as like modern romance, that was the definition, like a love story, happy ending. But a traditional romance is actually any book that is like has a quest involved in it, mostly quests that. Let me find my.
You say that and I think Holy Grail quest. I'm like, really?
I know. I'm like, does that mean that all fantasy books are romance?
Yeah.
I get it 100%.
Yeah.
Because
it's like,
Game of Thrones is just a long romance. It's fine.
Yeah. It's usually
probably not.
Like a quest involving like strong values, like proving your bravery or your strength or bravery or stuff like that. And there's usually a damsel in distress in those ones. Maybe they fall in love and
so
end up married at the end, but that's like a traditional romance story versus like modern romance, which is what would be like the
I would have guessed that the guy was in distress because of the no shirt thing.
Sometimes they are.
Like just to be in no shirt all the time.
They do actually have that.
What happened to you?
Subset.
Did someone rob you, sir? Are you okay?
Yeah. Were you in a plane accident? Because your pants are all torn and you're all wet. And I don't know what's happening.
Why is there wind always? Yeah.
There's cold always.
How are you soaking wet and smelling of the ocean in Nebraska? What's happening?
The magic of romance, baby.
Yeah. The quest.
Yeah.
It's just an Old Spice commercial.
Diamonds.
Diamonds. Sorry, Sarah. Continue, please.
I feel like it's my job to interrupt Sarah, so I'm not sorry.
No, it's fine. I just give information, and then you guys go off on.
And then we make fun of the information that you provide.
Yeah. I worked hard on that.
Look at her.
I'm very curious.
You just told us that you just Googled stuff.
I know. I did.
Justin, look at her stack of papers. She has so much information.
She had to hit the print button, too.
That is three pieces of paper that she keeps shuffling to make it seem like there's 12.
Stop giving away all my secrets.
I didn't know you could do
that.
14, it doesn't 15, matter if it's 16. In 48-point font. It's still a bunch of pages.
It's still
Calibri
a lot
11
of pages.
Is the only thing that should exist. FYI.
You're not wrong.
I never use that one.
You never, what do you use? I don't.
Miranda, Georgia.
No,
which is the most romantic font. I think that's what we're
Yes,
talking about.
See, that's it. Like we're going for
Bookman,
romantic.
You know, Bookman's good.
I like Bookman.
I'm a Times person, honestly.
Oh, you're OG.
Yeah. It's just really straight. 24 comics fans every time.
Comics. Get out of here. That's a weird love story. That's what that is.
Okay.
All right. So that's basically what a romance is. Like, it's
got a happy ending.
Happy ending, a love story. That's the focus of the plot is usually, it can always have like other subplots that always do. Yeah.
So I have questions. Mm-hmm. So romance has a happy ending mm-hmm. and a central love story.
Yeah.
So would erotica be like sex is the central part?
Yeah. So erotica would technically kind of falls under the heading of romance, but it's definitely more explicit, like sex, okay. like and stuff.
They get to do it more.
Yeah. Yeah.
The focus of a traditional romance would be the romance, right. whereas in erotica, the focus is the sex.
There's right. a lot of that tension, the will they, won't they, in the very building.
And there's a lot more focus on the sex scenes in erotica. Mm-hmm. That's very, like, the writing of the sex scenes is very central to erotica, whereas a lot of romances, you can have really trashy romances, mm-hmm. but a lot of them are more the relationship building, the connection. Like
is heavy sex scene what would make a regular romance trashy?
I'd Ooh. Say the frequency of.
The yeah. frequency of. That feels like... I don't know how I feel about that. I feel like a healthy...
I feel like the frequency and the description.
Okay.
Like the level of description and the frequency of is what takes you from cozy romance into like the more trashy romance. And I don't use trashy in the like sense that it's trash. I just mean like it's everybody's fun. Having sex. Crazy.
Because like to me, romance, like being in love sometimes equals a lot of sex.
Yeah.
Right? Like there's that... Especially like at the beginning of a new relationship, right? It happens.
Ooh, we get to LGBT it because I'm ace. So for me, romance has nothing to do with it.
And I'm on the other side of that. Yeah. I'm very, very sexual. I hope that's not a surprise. A weird thing to say in a podcast, but I'm heavily weighted that way. And so to me, the sex and the romance mm-hmm. don't have much separation, especially at the beginning of new relationships. Mm-hmm. You know, that is an expression of the love to me.
For sure. And I think that's why there is such a huge swath of romance novels out there from really super PG, like YA romances mm-hmm. all the way up to erotica. It spans the entire gamut. And there is something for everyone, depending on what you want to read and what you like.
Is there good ace romance?
Not really.
Because that would be amazing. That's a subset of people.
There is a movement in like the LGBT plus community to get more inclusive romances. The problem is traditional publishers like a very specific formula of romance. Yeah. Yeah. And
which
so
we found
it's,
from the definition.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so it's usually straight. It's usually a man and a woman. It's usually, it's very, very, not vanilla, but it's very just...
No,
that
you're actually quite right.
That formula.
I've read thousands of them, and I didn't realize until actually, sadly, recently how boxed in they do.
The unfortunate thing about people that identify as ace, like I do, is a lot of the romances written by non-ace people that are out there explore more the, oh, well, you're ace because you had trauma, or... You find the right person and they'll fix you.
Oh, that's not good.
Kind
that's
of stuff. So and so it's good. Really, really damaging.
Hyper problematic.
Really problematic. So there's not a ton out there, but there's starting to be more of a push for it. The problem is finding it in a traditional format because publishers are still super against it.
Yeah.
So a lot of those stories you have to find on, like, not fan fiction, but online. People, independent publishing, that kind of stuff. You can't find a lot of them. Out in the world.
So with our definition of satisfying ending in a romance novel, what would a satisfying ending for a person that is ace be?
I'd say the acceptance of the person.
Oh, wow.
So romance that can exist and be a healthy relationship that doesn't rely on sex as a definitive standpoint of that relationship. Mm-hmm. So I love you, you love me. We are happy together. We've accepted each other as who we are. And we can still have an adorable, disgusting little bubbly bubblegum romance. It just isn't all about the like physical parts of it.
Okay.
So we can sit on a couch and watch TV and cuddle and do all of that normal coupley stuff. It just doesn't go into the bedroom kind of things.
Yeah, huh. It's revealing that would be what is like sought after or yearned for in that mm-hmm. situation.
Yeah.
And it's a little sad that that's not like just what happens, because I think all people should be accepted as they are have their choice to be, not their choice to be, but their choice to exercise who they are, be like tied to something else, you know?
Yeah.
You have to fit in this box to be okay. Like,
yeah.
That's just the
formula of romance, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's the thing with romance books, is it's about a certain type of romance.
And I think it's becoming more inclusive and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's definitely becoming more inclusive.
I listened to a podcast called Drunk Booksellers, and they...
Sounds like fun in its own.
It's really good. And they were interviewing the owner of a bookstore in California called The Ripped Bodice, where they sold exclusively romance novels. They talked about all kinds of romance, and it's becoming more, obviously, it overwhelmingly involves, heterosexual couples, but there are a lot more stuff, so... If you look for it, basically, though,
it's a struggle to find now.
Yeah,
you can't just go to a bookstore and pick up a book and be like, oh, this is this kind of thing. You have to go online and be like, hey, I'm looking for romances about this specific kind of genre or this specific kind of person, and then filter out through that.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So I guess a brief history of romance. I think this is pretty common for most of the genres. They date back all the way to like ancient Greece.
Shocker.
Yeah.
Greeks did it.
Yeah, yeah.
Zeus. What? No.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. That would be a problematic romance novel. Yeah.
Zeus is just a problematic anthology of romance stories.
Volume 6 of Being Disappointed in the Gods.
Today, Zeus is a peacock.
The more like modern style romance started in this early 1600s, 1700s, with like Samuel Richardson's Pamela plus like Jane Austen and books like that, which are...
Yeah. Are Jane Austen books satisfying at the end?
And they're like, they also kind of walk the line of not really fitting the exact definition of a romance also, because like, whereas the plot basically involves the heroine like finding a husband, but it isn't really about love. It's more about trying to, because women don't have I don't know. It's like, it's more about her daily life in her search for
you could consider romances mostly Emma and Pride and Prejudice. I mean, Mansfield Park has it too. She does have romance elements in each of her books. But yeah, like there's actually, it's somebody who is an Austenite, because I am.
Is that like a name? That's a thing?
Yeah. Austenite? Well, they even have their own society that I don't pay to be a part of, but I do read their boards. They've actually had arguments because they didn't like the modern retelling, the 2006 movie, because they kiss. That's not in the book.
Hmm.
So there's actual arguments because they're like, well, we can let them kiss. Of course they kiss eventually. And, well, Jane didn't write it, so it's not what happened.
Why of course they kiss? We just talked about Ace, right? Why of course they kiss eventually?
They actually have, like, massive arguments about these things. And so, but I don't know if you'd consider her necessarily romance, because...
What's the utility of an argument like that?
Being right on the internet. You're winning internet points.
That's high value stuff.
Yes.
I forgot that was currency that I don't have in life.
I don't really have it in life either.
So. I don't know what you buy with that currency, but it must be great to have.
I'm assuming really good things, because people really seem to want it.
Yeah.
A sense of, I'm better than that other person.
Right.
Question mark.
Right.
We don't seem to be people who really... strive for that, though. So.
I wish it was more clear that we're so complex that you can't be better than somebody else, really, because there's 100,000 points to be.
But the internet says so.
And why are we trying to
come?
The internet says
but if you win an argument on the internet, Justin, then you're better than that other person.
Maybe they get perks for that day.
The other person's a stranger. What if they're not even worth beating. There's just so much I don't understand, right? Like, first of all,
like getting into the conflict.
If somebody's arguing with me on the internet, first of all, like, I don't value their opinion because they're arguing with me on the internet. Like, it's not a value to me. Like, winning against that person is like,
you've already won.
You've already won because you aren't interacting.
Yeah.
You've actually figured out the true winning of internet arguments, as like, in
it's,
don't participate.
I think it comes down to that whole human psychology of where you have, if you have deeply held beliefs, even if they're about something as almost trivial as a Jane Austen book.
Ooh, trivial. Ooh.
Literature, come on.
You should have said Poe.
Even if they're as trivial as your opinions on Poe.
Are you calling my opinions trivial?
Thank you. Fantastic. I'm glad you picked that up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The direct eye contact helped.
The eye contact. Yeah. But it's the challenging of deeply held beliefs about something that make people like get defensive.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't always make good choices when you're defensive. And you want to explain to the other person why your opinion is good. But if they have a different opinion, they're going to then rebut you with, no, this is my opinion. And then you just clash.
Mm.
You also lose a lot of tone context in text.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So you might be like, no, I understand where you're coming from, but here's why I think this way. And they might take it as a, you're stupid, you're wrong, and I don't care what you have to say, I'm right.
I guess that makes sense, because your opinion can be good until it's contrasted against another opinion, and then one is better, right? Or is the way people look at it?
Is the way people look at it. I think when it comes to, we've had the discussion on this podcast before of, just because we don't like a book doesn't mean that you shouldn't read a book.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think that people's opinion on literature is fine regardless of what they think of that literature, which means when you have an opinion about a book,
mm-hmm.
even if somebody else has a different opinion on that book, that doesn't make your opinion better or worse than theirs.
I think, mm-hmm. so for me, right, I mean, like, Poe, right? Like, I make fun of Poe a lot, and it's a running joke.
And I like poking fun at you about it, but I don't care that you don't like
every
Poe.
Episode.
To me, it's taste, right? Like, and I have this saying that I apply to a lot of life, and it's, some people don't like ketchup.
Yeah.
And some people just like ketchup. I love ketchup. Ketchup's delicious. I want it on my Whopper, right? It's amazing. It makes my fries better. Some people don't like it. They have a different tongue.
Yeah.
I can't make that choice for them. I don't like certain books, but that doesn't mean they don't taste good, right, to other people. Mm-hmm. Or, I can't decide that. That's crazy.
You and I
could like ketchup on my Poe, so.
Yeah. I think that's fitting. That might make it better.
I mean,
might.
Ketchup does make everything better, so.
Bye.
So don't get him the Poe Annabelle.
but yeah, no, that's I think that's what it is, though, is two people can read a book and have completely different feelings about that book. And even if they both like that book, they might like it for different reasons, right. And they might have different opinions on it.
Which is
we're made of a million cognitive biases, right? Reading level, vocabulary, pace, style, tone. Everything is different about us. I like very unique things in each one of those things I laid out.
Yeah.
And you like very unique things in those things that I, you know, it's, how can you measure? I feel like we are in a society that measures against each other too much. And
we
it's
do.
Just difficult for me.
And I think that's the really long-winded way of saying people have different opinions, but they can't handle when other people have opinions that don't match theirs.
At least on the internet.
On the internet.
I feel like I can, and I don't know where I learned that lesson, but I wish everybody could. Maybe. I'm not trying to say I'm better that way. I seem to have a lot less internet conflict.
I seek it out. I don't actually conflict. I just eat popcorn and read theirs. Like, I love reading other people's.
I lurk. I don't engage.
I'm a lurker. Exactly. I don't engage because there's just no point.
Speaking of engaging, Sarah.
Sorry, Sarah. Continue.
No worries.
You got us distracted. Okay,
yeah.
Basically, modern romance really hit its stride, I guess, in the early 70s, especially with like mass market production. So like everything was mass market and they just churned it out. And I think they probably still do in some regards.
Harlequin.
Harlequin. But it has also recently, I think, especially towards the end of the 90s, there's been more hardcover like romance releases, which kind of
that's interesting.
Is like when they... Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it used to be that most romances were just in mass market release.
Mm-hmm.
And so publishers recently have actually started, I think the genre, you know, in some ways is gaining some, it's no longer considered like, oh, romance, you read romance, that's weird or
whatever.
And
there's definitely popular art, authors, and mm-hmm. so they may have gotten the hardback treatment, because I know mm-hmm. that
yeah.
Johanna Lindsay gets hardbacks, and she's right, yeah. one of the big historical.
Daniel Steele always gets hardcovers and stuff like that. Yeah, that
there was a quality of author at some point that added legitimacy somehow to the genre?
Yeah, I believe so. I don't think I put it in this notes now, because there was a specific author that they mentioned in one of the articles I read that got a hardcover release. And I honestly want to say that it was a Daniel Steele.
I was going to say, Daniel Steele seems to be the most mm-hmm. popular of the romance. I mean, at least as far as prolific romance writers go. Yeah, yeah.
Or maybe even Nora Roberts.
Right now, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think so.
Who did Flowers in the Attic? Was that?
Oh, that was V.C. Andrews.
Oh, I get her confused with Danielle Steele mm-hmm. for some reason.
Yeah.
Oh, I forget that she writes books.
V.C. Andrews?
Mm-hmm. I always forget that she's an author.
In what context do you think of her outside of being an author then?
I forget she exists.
Oh, right? Okay.
You know what? Flowers in the Attic would make me want to forget that.
I think that's what did it.
Exists.
I think that's what did it. I read Flowers in the Attic.
I actually
and I
thought
like,
she
no,
was like no, personally yeah. friends. Oh, I forgot she wrote books.
Yeah.
We have tea on Sundays and we just never bring it up.
Fancy.
That's what I seriously saw for a brief moment there.
There's a lot of authors that like I don't remember their names, but when somebody brings them up, I'm like, oh yeah. I know that they write books, but every single time someone's like V.C. Andrews, I have a moment where my brain is just like, do they write books?
You must have had a traumatic experience.
Have you read Flowers in the Attic?
Yeah.
Fair point. Okay. Yeah. I wasn't going to be mean to any books today. I guess I am now.
We keep V.C. Andrews in horror.
Sorry, but
I think so. Yeah, actually. I think we legitimately do.
Yeah.
Rounding back to, if you like Flowers in the Attic, that's great. I'm glad that you like that book. I just don't.
You know, it's not a bad book. I just don't like thinking about the things they're writing about.
Yeah. It really is a sad
book. It really got me. Like, just
not good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not.
Yeah.
What did Danielle Steele write then?
Modern romance?
What didn't Danielle Steele write?
You say that, but nobody's giving me any titles.
I wasn't thinking about titles for you. I was more thinking of like a way to attribute it to like TV shows almost. Like, have you watched, or you probably didn't, but like, you know, Dallas and the different soap dramas?
Huh.
Okay, because that's basically what she wrote, a whole bunch of stuff where...
People like, love Dallas, right?
Yeah. Oh, mm-hmm. they did. Yeah. They loved it. They loved any of the soap dramas and stuff like that. So it was a lot of plot with the women having issues with like, oh no, the boss is embezzling and the kind coworker is going to, you know, help me uncover this mystery. And and we fall in love. The end.
Oh, yay. There was a quest, but it wasn't for love. It was to find the boss's embezzlement.
Yeah. And then
but love happened.
Love happened. Exactly. There's a lot of office romance. There's a lot of beach romance and different things like, oh, she's overworked and needs some, you know, a vacation. Oh, look at this wonderful pool boy. And yeah.
Just to highlight a couple of subgenres, there's contemporary romance versus mm-hmm. historical romance. Mm-hmm. And the romance writers of America define historical romance as anything that was set before the 1950s
mm-hmm.
and contemporary as anything after.
Though you'll find a lot of the historicals are in the Victorian era.
Right.
Well, because corsets.
Because corsets, because exactly. Corsets. And there was lots of dukes then and earls and rich guys to... Mm-hmm. To romance, so.
And less fabric for shirts.
And less fabric for shirts, because apparently the richer you are, the less shirts you have.
But plenty of fabric for corsets and bustles.
Yes. That's where all the fabric
That's where all the fabric right. was. Yeah. All of the ladies had the fabric.
Yeah.
I've always got the feeling, and this is just like passing by, so I'm glad I get to ask this question finally. Do historical romance people feel better than regular contemporary romance people? Because I like see it in their eyes sometimes, where they're just,
They you know? Might. I actually, my favorites were the historicals. I love the historical ones.
And so when you're like deep in historical run, do you look down your nose at contemporary books?
No, not at all. I just don't. I wanted to be transported to a different world.
Yeah, and I think that there's something along the lines of how there's urban fantasy versus regular fantasy, like high fantasy and urban fantasy are the same genre, but they are set in different times.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people think that urban fantasy isn't as good of a genre as high fantasy because it's set in the modern world and there's too much science involved in it and stuff like that. And I feel like a lot of people that are about historical romance kind of have that same feeling like, oh, but this transports you to the past and it's so much.
It's so much more romantic.
It's so much more romantic instead of an office building in the middle of New York City.
No air conditioning or hygiene. I love my romance.
More times repressive.
Oh yeah,
controlling and possessive.
No. In historical romance, there's total consent. Okay.
Really?
Yeah. Surprisingly enough, you've got a lot of consent.
There
doesn't seem to track with history.
It does. Oh gosh. Okay. Again,
that's why it's a fiction genre.
I was going to say the historical part, not historically accurate at all.
Almost sci-fi.
Yeah. I'm not even sure some of the authors try. Like, I don't even think they research. They're just like, ha, England is place, and go.
The great thing is, I've read a couple that were set in, like Scotland. Like, you've got the men in kilts thing is a huge, like the Scottish Highlander ones and stuff.
That's a thing, huh?
It is a thing. It's an entire subgenre in and of itself.
Is it about the thighs or what's the...
It's the men in kilts.
It's the men in kilts and the manly men. They're definitely more...
But I read a couple that were set in, and I don't even remember what century Scotland that it was set in, but all the women were wearing corsets.
Mm-hmm.
And that was not a thing in Scotland during that time. I was like, guys.
But corsets.
But they didn't have them, people. They didn't wear them.
Maybe one person had them.
Yeah.
People in England had them.
And they just didn't make it to Scotland?
They were separate for a really long time.
And there's no trade at all?
Not when it came to, like, impractical...
I like how Justin's trying to make this romance trade happen.
Look,
Hannah, okay? But corsets.
I'm just really upset that there's part of history that doesn't involve corsets. I'm just learning that.
I thought all of history was corsets.
Yeah. Women's fashion in Scotland during that time was very much more, like, they still wore dresses and stuff like that, but it was much more practical. It was meant for movement and working and all of that stuff. They didn't wear super restrictive clothing.
Hmm.
It just wasn't a thing until England started actually conquering Scotland and bringing their fashion over.
Interesting. Okay. I just thought corsets always existed from, like the first corset was made from, like, saber-toothed tiger pelts.
And just all
the
of history.
Rib bones of a pterodactyl, right?
Like, I mean, is that not historical that not romance no? would say that it did.
My view of history is just way off. I'm shocked. I just thought it was all corsets until 1950.
Yeah, exactly.
And then
all of a sudden, power suits.
Shoulder pads.
80s. Shoulder
pads. We had to take all the material out of the corsets to make shoulder pads.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes. And the men still don't have shirts, if you look at those
still
books.
Don't have shirts. It's because Fabio. All of the fabric is going to the shoulder pads.
Really? It's global warming. It's global warming.
Yep.
I think we could move on to our recommendations
for this. Oh, yes,
please. I look through my shelf, and I honestly don't have a ton of romances that I read. I'm going to do mine first because it's real short.
Not as short as mine.
Because the one I for sure was a gothic romance by Hester Fox called The Widow of Pale Harbor.
Ooh.
And so that one, it was historical romance about a widow in Pale Harbor.
And she had a corset.
And she did, definitely.
I bet she
and
did,
there was
actually.
A little bit of witchcraft, you know, ghosts and stuff in it. And, yeah. Ooh. And the new town,
corsets?
Like preacher came into town and they fell in love. And, yeah.
Aw. They fell in love with the preacher man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Aww. Was she a witch?
Was he a son of a preacher man?
Her housekeeper was a witch.
Her housekeeper was a witch.
She was dabbling in witchcraft, I guess.
I wish I had a housekeeper. She'd give me a witch. I wish I had a housekeeper.
I mean, yeah, same. Mm.
Yeah. So that one is the one, like, truly romance book that I read for sure. And then I've read a few Jane Austen novels, but not a lot. But I had, like, three of hers. So, yeah. That's where I'm at.
Okay. What about you, Justin, with your one...
I mean,
zero.
Yeah, I don't know. None of them come out really. I guess the Lunar Chronicles, does that count? That's like YA romance ish.
I think that could count.
I think that would count.
Yeah.
So Lunar Chronicles is probably the only thing I've read that would be counted as a romance under that definition.
Mm-hmm.
I like Stephanie Meyer stuff. The Twilight Saga.
You like the Twilight.
The Host was a beautiful book about love and about separation and individuality, which. Though I like Stephanie Meyer's writing on love because I'm a very internal person. For as much as I talk, I think, you know, so much more. And so I get really wrapped up thinking about the same thing. And I get like on a loop. And her characters are pretty internal and obsessive. And I connect with that really well.
Okay.
So there's actually like a reason I like the books. Not just, yay. But because they sort of match my like internal like low-key obsession. It's not something that people write about a lot. Not something that people admit to a lot. But I love being... there's a term called limerence.
Okay.
And limerence is a situation where you're in love with someone and you're hoping they're in love back with you. And it's painful in a lot of its descriptions, but it's something that I find beautiful. I love being in love. And I don't care if I'm being loved back. I just love that outward expression of myself. And sometimes it feels great to have that quest or challenge right ahead of me and something that I need to deal with. And I love being trapped in that loop of wanting and loving and passion. And that's a very internal, sort of obsessive thing.
Yeah.
And Stephanie Meyer's captures that pretty well. And so it's a really individual thing. I love it. If you're weird like that and love that, then you might like those books. But, but there is an actual like style to her characters that is different from other characters I've read. And so that's all I have, though. That's all I've ever read that's close to it. I've never read a proper romance novel. I wouldn't even know where to start. That's the hardest part.
Well, it would honestly depend on the genre you'd want to go for. And I do have quite a few recommendations depending on the scenario. Because, yeah, I read a lot. I loved the fact that they were like popcorn for me. And they were solace in some dark times. Because, you know, personal life gets in all sorts of deep places. Mm-hmm. But you reach for that entertainment or that thing. And then you can be transported. And books do that. We know that in all genres.
Mm-hmm.
And for romance, I really liked. I love romance. I love being in love. All of those things. Super, super person for that. And so it was always nice to know that even if in the beginning they hate each other, something could be coming up soon. I was never disappointed at that point. Historical, I would definitely say Johanna Lindsay. Gentle Rogue is her first in her series, and it's about a girl who decides to go confront a guy who went off to war, but they were engaged for 5 years. And she's like, okay, it's been 5 years. I'm done. Only to find out, she goes to England from America, that he's married and has a kid already. He just left her. And so she's like, I got to get on a ship and get home to America now. And she ends up on a particular ship where there's this great guy, and it becomes this whole fun thing. And they fight a lot, but it's fun fights. And
yeah,
it's just a fun one. She's one of the bigger ones. I also have, I was trying to go through my little Goodreads list here. There's all sorts of kinds. One of the ones that we just got in that's really fun is called My Lady's Choosing, an interactive romance.
Oh, I love that book so much.
Kitty Coran is the one that wrote that. And what's great about it is it has a little bit of each romance genre in it.
It's basically a choose your own adventure romance story.
I know the book. I know the book.
Yeah, and it turns...
Everybody here loves that book so much.
Because it turns into, maybe you're going to end up being with the English guy this time, and then there's a Scottish guy, and then there's a whole screw romance, let's just go hang out with my bestie, and path. Like, there's a whole fun, there's a ton of different paths in it. I read every path because it was just so much fun.
Nice.
And it's actually a really good bite-sized way to understand what the genre is a little bit like.
So not to derail you, but I have a question. Are there any romance novels from a man's perspective?
That's a great question.
I'm
don't
sure
know.
There is, but I can't think of any.
The only thing I can think of is maybe the one where Edward is the protagonist, Midnight Sun.
There is a book series out that I have. I think I have it in store right now. It's called The Bromance Book Club.
And, oh, that sounds like fun.
And so it's a guy who is in a romance book club with a bunch of other dudes. And I that's all I know about it, but it just sounded really funny, so I brought it into the store. Well, that's the only one I could think of off the top of my head.
I know that there was a lot of...
And I don't even know if it's technically a romance, but it is in romance, so it's shelved over there.
I love love, right? That's like one of my... Yeah. I prioritize love above just about everything else. It's the... I don't know. It's the best expression of being a person that I know, right? For me.
Yeah.
It's just what ever since I was a little kid, right? Like, I got in trouble in preschool for kissing girls, and it's just been that my whole life. It's just been this whole thing. And I would read romance novels. I would love to read about love stories. Can't always connect with the female
point of view. I'm sure there
has
to be. I've read a lot that switch perspective back and forth between the woman and the man, like, perspectives. But I can't think of any that I've really read that would be considered actual romance from the man's perspective.
Hmm.
I'm sure they've got to be out there.
Yeah.
I know some of
She's read thousands.
No, but I identify with the female protagonist, so I never actually looked at... That's why I was like, that's a really good question, because now I want to read a couple from the man's perspective. I think that would be really intriguing, and it would be nice to...
As long as they're not the, like, 1950s men writing women badly romance books.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
No.
That wouldn't be great.
But I...
I'm just curious. I would love to see it. I don't know if it's possible in our culture, like, because men being in, I got teased a lot for being a person who was in love all the time. And you just get made fun of as a guy, like, oh, you're not going to sleep with her and move on. No, dude, I'm in love with this girl. You know, people, like, the guys are like, girls aren't worth fighting over.
Emotional vulnerability in men is still very stigmatized in our culture.
Well, and that's the difference in the genres, because with the Highlands, the Scottish historical versions, you would see them be more gruff than maybe their English broody counterparts.
Well, and they would only be gentle or open up around the female protagonist. They would never be vulnerable with anyone else, never show any kind of... And even that, it's only like towards the end of the book when they finally are like, no, but I love you.
Yeah, because even one of my favorites of the romance novel, Johanna Lindsay, when she shows the brothers, when the brothers get together, they all fight rough and tumble.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's how they solve their issues, is they fight each other instead of talking and, you know, actually showing genuine care. Now, they do genuinely care about each other, but only when they have to be forced to show it, in quotations.
So how do you think that... contemporary romance portrays men? Do you think they portray them in a good light then, after this discussion? Doesn't feel like they
I want to say yes, but I just recently read You, and that is not is not a good light for men.
I read a lot of contemporary romance where a couple of them that are on my list, actually, the main love interests, the male protagonists, are portrayed in a very positive light. Sometimes they have a little bit of, you know, standoffish emotional baggage, but by and large, they're much more open than a lot of other books that I've read. And I think it just depends on the person writing it and how they view, like, what a man, quote, quote, should be and how they should act.
As a man, quote, quote.
I know.
I hate when people tell me, like, that I'm not being manly. It's like, describe that to me. What does that look like?
Right. Yeah. I like romance books that have men who are able to address their emotional vulnerabilities and who aren't afraid to not be macho in the best way that I can put it. Like,
that's a good word for
it. Like, they're not afraid to...
They're not expressing their value through violence and...
Yeah. Yeah.
Emotional numbness.
They're willing to talk instead of punch people. Like...
I'm, like, trolling through my Goodreads trying to find one that could possibly be, you know, a manned version, and no.
Oh, I was just going to see if Hannah wanted to give her list since she was talking about it.
Yeah, so actually on the note of not toxic male leads, one of the books on mine is called Ghost of a Chance by Flo Fitzpatrick. It is primarily told through the female protagonist's viewpoint, but the main love interest is he's funny, he's not, he doesn't have the toxic masculine traits. It all takes place in a theater. They're putting on a play, basically, and there's a ghost, and there's intrigue and mystery, and it's really fun. But he's one of the actors involved, and so he does dancing, and he does acting, and he's not, like... the traditional just meathead guy that a lot of romances put in. He's very a dynamic character. He feels like he would be a dynamic character even if you took him out of a romance book and put him into a different genre.
Mm-hmm.
I love that book. And it's not one of the... There is love scenes, but it's not super focus of the book. Like, them getting together is obviously the end conclusion of the book, but it's not the main focus of the story.
Okay.
Them growing together as people is the main focus of the story, which I really like. Then on to my little more racy recommendations. Tris Jensen does a book called Phi Beta Bimbo.
I thought when you made your misstep at the beginning of that, I thought we were going in a way different.
I really did too. I was like, whoa.
Yeah. I love that book so much. The main male lead, it's one of those ones that switches perspectives.
Okay.
So it does get male lead's perspective and female lead's perspective. He's a cop, so he does have a little bit of the, like, machismo going on.
Sure.
But he's also, like, he also takes care of his blind sister, and, like, he's kind of emotionally vulnerable, and he's not super up his own butt. I'm sorry, I have opinions on a lot of male leads in romances.
I can tell, and that's true.
The whole point of that story is this girl is writing a thesis on if blondes actually have more fun, more or less. Mm-hmm. She's like the traditional bookish, mouthy girl, but she applies for a job at her brother's company, both as herself, the little mousy bookworm. Mm-hmm. And then goes undercover in disguise as this busty blonde bimbo.
Oh my goodness.
And she, her whole thing is to see how she gets treated differently as each of the people.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's a cop and he's investigating the company for something. So he like catches on right away and it's hilarious. The whole book is just funny. And then the Undead Unwed series by Marie Janice Davidson.
I know all of those. Yep.
Oh my god,
those look fun when I'm processing.
They're them. So fun. Much fun.
They are really just fun. Just
smack my mic! I'm so excited. They're so much fun. The main character is the traditional dumb blonde. Mm-hmm. She gets turned into a vampire. She wakes up in a morgue.
Yeah.
And the first thing like, oh that she God. Freaks out about in the morgue is that her stepmom put her in, like, dollar store shoes.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
she
rude.
Owned way expensive shoes.
And she's just pissed about it. And the whole series, like, that just sets the tone for the entire series.
Yeah.
Like, I like it. I like having, like, a strong identity like that, too. Like, if she probably is unabashed about wanting.
Oh, yeah. No,
like,
she's.
No.
She's,
I like nice shoes. Put me in nice shoes.
She's
I've made this decision.
Just
to be
absolutely
myself.
That way. And the whole series is great.
Undead and unwed. And
yeah, there's just the whole thing. And then I've talked about it before. I think I recommended it when we talked about fiction. But it is technically also classified as a historical romance. And that's Wings of the Falcon by Barbara Michaels. It doesn't have a lot of the traditional, like, well, I'm not saying traditional. It doesn't have a lot of the sex scenes or anything like that, but it is a love story underneath everything else.
Mm.
And I really, really like that one a lot. It's got a nice bubblegum ending that makes me happy every time I read it.
I like happy endings.
Yeah.
I thought of one.
Yeah?
Yeah. I thought of one that's a male perspective.
Ooh.
Really?
Yeah, written by a male. What? William Goldman. It's called The Princess Bride.
Hey!
Yeah.
All right.
We
all right.
know that one.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah.
That's a love story.
That's mm-hmm. a very much a love. Mm-hmm. And it's. I think that's a character I do connect with.
Yeah, exactly. And he drives it, so...
I'm not trying to like hijack it straight males, but it's just I was a really curious like getting into it.
I'm gonna be curious to see if I can find like I'm gonna look that up now and just be like, hey, are there any romances that are
same? And I don't think you hijacked it. That's something that might be lacking in the genre that they need to work on.
I mean, I think it's the same thing with like the LGBT representation. There's also not a lot of representation of men in romance because it was a genre that was primarily written by and for straight women.
Yep. And think how much different the world would be if that wasn't the case, though, right? Like, what if there was like a good example throughout all of the time that romance has been written for men to be vulnerable in literature, right? Like, that's kind of stuff I think about sometimes.
Well, that's a whole diatribe on society and
it's a good thought. Like,
I mean,
what
we learn on accident.
We
right?
talked about it when we talked about fantasy too. A lot of it comes down to the publishing companies not being willing to break the mold of what they consider appropriate. Like how Tolkien, they tried to make him write children's books. Like that was...
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Fantasy is for children.
Yeah,
not
fantasy
adult,
is for
not
children,
adult.
Not highbrow literature. And so I think a lot of it comes down to just challenging the major publishing companies to take a risk and print things that don't follow their script.
I hate that money is the gatekeeper on societal change sometimes. Yeah,
on
like
everything.
That.
But with the... new with the popularity and influx of indie publishing coming up now with the access to self-publishing and electronic publishing and all of that, we are seeing a dynamic shift in the publishing industry right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to take a while before that hits the actual Penguin Publishing and the other big publishing houses. It's going to take a while for them to catch on. But we are seeing it. People have more access to this stuff, and it's easier for unknown authors to get their books out as long as they're willing to self-promote.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm.
So I guess, does anybody else have any other recommendations before we move on to our wrap-up?
Austinland, actually.
Austinland?
Okay. Austinland. You don't have to know anything about Jane Austen, but that's another good kind of fun love story. She's obsessed with Jane Austen. That's why it's called Austinland.
Because I saw a movie.
There is a movie.
Okay.
Yes,
is this a book too?
The book was first, of course.
Of course, yeah. And I saw the movie, but I didn't know it was a book.
Yeah, it was a book. I had to read the book. And then when I saw the movie, I was like, yeah, this is exactly how I envisioned it. But
it was a cute movie.
It's very cute. And she's so obsessed with love and romance, but she only sees Mr. Darcy from Jane Austen as a viable love interest. Mm-hmm. And so she spends all her money to go to this resort that's called Austinland, where you get to live out a fantasy in that time period. And it's just hilarious because she doesn't have enough money to get the best package. So she ends up in some different things and
knock off Mr. Darcy.
Yeah. And knock off Mr. Darcy. Well, a stable boy. Oh. Yeah. So it ends up being kind of fun.
I bet stable boys would be romantic because they're all like, you know, you love horses.
You got to take care of horses.
Working with the horse is a beautiful, like, connecting thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and you got to be genuine with a horse.
Mm-hmm.
I've worked with some horses.
Yeah.
You can't lie to a horse.
No.
You try and act tough to a horse and they're just going to kick you in the face.
Yeah.
They can definitely sense your fear.
Nobody's,
and dislike.
Nobody's having fun.
No, they'll throw you or they'll rub you off. They just don't put up with it.
Yeah.
They don't deal with turds well. It's PG-13. Yeah,
hey, you went the whole time without one.
Don't say
saying
it. Don't say it.
Okay.
Sarah
wants us to move
now.
On.
Let's do the
Sarah,
she wants
Sarah to save us. Save us before we derail it.
Because I actually have a plot point this time, because I was thinking about romance. And when I was in high school, I went through a phase where I would only read books that had twins as their, like, protagonists.
Because
I am a twin. I don't know.
I didn't know that.
You didn't know that?
I didn't know that.
No. You've never met Leah?
You have.
I have. I didn't realize you guys
were twins. Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I just thought you were really close to your sister.
Do you guys ever argue about who's the best twin? Is that like a thing?
No.
Do we rank you? I hope we don't rank them.
No. Which one was born first?
Technically, I was born first.
Oh, well, then you're obviously better.
I see how you qualify with technically, though. Do you see there's a qualification of technically? Just technically, it doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
We're fair, but you're the big sister.
Yeah.
And so twin fiction or books really called to you because...
Yeah, yeah. So Sweet Valley High was like a big thing.
Oh,
because
I didn't
that was
think about
yeah.
That, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There's twins in Sweet Valley High?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh. Are they the main characters?
They're the main characters. Yeah. At least from the ones I read. It was always like the book was always like the first half was from one twin's perspective and the second half was from the other twin's perspective.
That's amazing.
Perspective.
Yeah.
Like, telling the same story.
It made a lot of girls who didn't have a twin jealous because we wanted one. Now I know it would have been a bad idea. But
Is having a twin like a sought after thing? I feel like I would just be in constant conflict and challenge.
Yeah, me too.
For dominance.
I don't know. Yeah, a lot of it was always like I guess people are just intrigued by it because like it's uncommon to have twins and stuff. So we were always like, "What's that like?" And I'm like, "I don't know because I've never been anything other than a twin."
Yeah.
Like,
I was gonna ask, is it intriguing to be a twin?
I don't think so.
It's just your default state of being.
Right.
It's,
exactly. Yeah.
Is it intriguing not to be a twin, Justin?
Yes.
Okay.
Because I have to think about what would happen if I had a twin all the time.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Do I just start, like, is that just the start of a battle? If I see a long lost twin, I see someone who looks exactly like me.
Then you have to
is it just
fight.
On Highlander style?
Fight right. On sight.
Yeah.
We literally
I gotta throw on a
this...
kilt, take off a shirt.
Yeah.
Get
it
done.
And yeah.
Oh, no, I just had the vision of you doing this. This is great.
So what book are you looking for?
So, okay. It was a duology. I don't remember the author, obviously. And it was a Western romance.
I'm sorry. Do you know what we're doing?
No.
All right.
Okay. So this is the section of the I'm calling it plot points because it's like a book that you read in the past, but you can't remember what the title or the author of it. So we
Tip
like give a
tongue.
Description of the book and hopefully somebody out there will be like, it's this book.
Yeah. Yeah. All of us at the bookstore have a book that we loved that we read. We just cannot remember the name or find it again.
Many of you have gone to Reddit, Tip of My Tongue, and looked them up and solved it.
No.
Wait,
what
Reddit,
is that?
Tip of My Tongue.
It's a Reddit board called Tip of My Tongue, and it's literally about I saw a show that had X, Y, or Z or whatever, and people solve it for you. They're like, hey, it's this show, or hey, it's this book, or hey, and it's literally what you're doing.
Oh, okay.
So it's like that, but better.
It's like that, but it's online. It's online where a lot of people see it, so they fix it, and I do that a lot.
Dear ear viewers, please don't go online. Yeah. Only listen to podcasts.
Only listen to podcasts and tell us what this is. Okay. Duology.
So, yeah. Thank you. Sorry. It was a duology. And okay, so obviously the first book in the series, I don't remember a ton of it. It was like the girl was getting married. And so it was a lot about like the planning of the wedding and like her like bachelorette party or whatever, even though it was Western or whatever. But then the second book in the series was more actiony. So it was, the other one was getting married to a rancher and there was like a turf war over land or something. So she gets kidnapped and he has to pay a ransom to get her back and all that kind of stuff. So
it's twins. The first twins, book is about the first twin's wedding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then the second book is about...
like they're about to get married. And so like there's a turf war over like the rancher's like land.
Mm-hmm.
And so the gang members like steal his fiance, who's the main character. And he has
because
to
nothing fixes a turf war faster than stealing your girl.
Stealing your girl, yeah.
I didn't know that. I don't get into a lot of 1870s Western turf wars. I'm guessing Texas or Nevada.
Yeah, it was something like that. I don't remember
the kind of novel. Or
no, I remember it being
explicit as heck.
Oh, that's what we're going to. You remember the explicitness. No, no. Okay.
It was a lot of fade to black type stuff, but like,
both their feet were on the floor.
Yeah.
I do not know that rule.
Both their feet was on one side and his foot was on the other side.
It was a TV rule back in the day. Yeah, when they do anything in the beds, both your feet had to be on the floor for the TV sensors to approve it, because that meant you weren't doing anything. As soon as those feet went up, obviously you were doing something.
You can do a lot with your feet on the floor.
I agree, but just, that was their
rule. That's why they were always sitting on opposite sides of the bed with their feet on the ground.
Yeah, I'm just tired.
I think it makes it weirder if both your feet are on the floor. Like, that's very intricate, high-level stuff you're working on. Like,
right, well,
why is that what's allowed on TV?
Because that's what they were displaying. Waiting.
they were just. Okay. Okay. I'm sorry.
So, I derail this too much. No. This is why I'm a special guest and not.
derail ourselves all a lot of the time.
I don't know what you're talking about.
So, I mean, that was all I have for the description. That's like basically all I remember. But it was a fun read. So,
how big were the books?
I mean, they were pretty short, like 200 or 300 pages.
Interesting.
I think. Yeah.
Okay.
Where'd you find them at?
Honestly, I think they were like on my mom's bookshelf or something. Like, I just found them and
have you looked there again?
No, because my mom and got rid of a bunch of her books and stuff. So
how dare you, mom? Like,
yeah. You get rid of books? I didn't.
Wait. Yeah. What?
I mean, have you looked around up here?
Lots of people do it.
I don't want to like.
I know. That's why I keep finding my books, and I'm like, oh no, I gave these to you guys.
Like, on a dark note, right? When we get donations, I kind of figure that everybody has passed away.
No.
Like, I just, like, that's my default. Like, we get a donation, oh man, somebody passed away and gave us their books. Because I just, you know.
You know, not everybody has. Call us beforehand and are like, we'd like
family members.
Oh.
Yeah.
No, I have a lot of people. I have a lot of people being like, hey, I'm trying to downsize my book collection. Can I bring some books in to donate?
I don't understand. I give away books to my friends, but I wouldn't like not to. I don't know. Please give your books to us. Like, I'm not trying to dissuade them.
The book enterer thinks that everybody is dead if you donate if you to donate your books to Adventure.
Yeah, yeah. I actually kind of do. It's
interesting. I mean, I'm rapidly.
You have processed books I have donated, and I am still here. Does that help you?
No,
I'm still dead.
My automatic assumption is
now you're a ghost.
This person
was awesome. I'm going to try to go through a wall when we're done.
Please
here.
Don't. Oh. At least don't try to go through this wall, because it opens to the drop ceiling and you will fall through the lights.
There's a hole in the wall. You could go through.
There is a hole in the wall. I still would not recommend going through that wall.
Don't do
that.
Isn't there also something behind that? And
I wonder why I assumed everybody was dead.
That's funny.
Because you hold on to your books.
It's... it's like a weird. I haven't had to examine that like at a deep level before. But I've said it out loud, like, what is wrong with me?
I have gotten to the point where I've had too many books and not enough bookshelves or space to hold said books, where I've had to downsize and get rid of books.
Oh, yeah.
That's just my opportunity to force my friends to read books that I want them to read.
Usually, if I'm getting rid of books, it's books that I do not think anyone should be reading.
Ah.
Like books that I've bought because I thought they sounded interesting, and then I read them and I'm like, nope, not really as interesting as I thought you were going to be. And then I go and give them somewhere where maybe more people, because a lot of the people I know read very similar stuff to me, and I can make a pretty good judgment call that they wouldn't like what I
am getting rid of.
Right.
I only read good books, so.
Not me. I like all kinds of books.
Not me.
Yeah.
Sarah, no comment?
No. Hmm? I mean, I read all kinds of books. I've definitely read some stinkers.
Yeah. We should do a episode on stinkers.
Yes, episode actually. On bad books.
That would be fun.
That would be a good one.
Okay.
Talk about all of the arguments.
Although
you
I do
there.
Like, I don't really want to be like negative about books.
Right.
I think everybody should read books. So, but I've definitely read books I don't like, though. So
because you don't like them doesn't mean other people can't like them.
That's true. Yeah, that's fair. It's true. And I have literally read a series just so I could argue with somebody about it. So because I knew it was going to be bad, and they're like, "Well, you couldn't know unless you read them." So I read every word.
What was it?
50 Shades of Grey trilogy.
Oh, and it wasn't good?
No, it's terrible.
It's terrible. Sarah?
And I can tell you because I've read every line.
All right, what's everybody currently reading?
Currently?
As I am still working on The Ghost Tree.
Just about to finish Wishful Drinking by Carrie Fisher.
Nice.
Which, if you listen to the audiobook, it's actually her talking to you, so it's awesome because you feel like you're actually in the room like chatting because she's so it's just how she was. It's awesome.
Interesting.
What about you guys?
I'm trying to talk myself into starting Death and Darjeeling.
Oh, okay.
Mm. Yeah. Ooh, that looks good.
But what's it has been you? The heat.
It's too hot to read.
It's too hot for my brain to process stuff. Like, I'm having such a hard time. I went to sketch yesterday, and I couldn't even, like, sketch something because I was so hot and just uncomfortable that my brain was just like, I don't want to think. I don't want to do anything right now. I sat on my couch and stared at the ceiling with a fan blowing on me going, please let me die.
So you're one of those Renaissance paintings. I am
the Renaissance painting, okay. Yeah.
Okay. I'm reading a book called Hinch. But I forgot to write down who wrote it. Mm-hmm. It's about hench people.
It really is? Okay, there was a brief moment in my head where I was like, I hope it's about henchmen.
It is. It's about like a temp service that assigns people with individual skills, like accounting skills, to supervillains to handle their day-to-day stuff.
Yes.
Amazing.
Okay,
I want to read that.
Yeah. It's starting out really interesting, and some people have superpowers, but... I'm just starting it. So like a lady has super sense of smell and she says it's painful because people are stinky and the world sucks.
Like if I knew she had sense, I'd be like immediately backing up like farther.
It's just this whole, and it's super interesting. Like the job market is what they're talking about and the longevity of being a henchman and how to hook up with a good villain who's not going to get busted. And it's starting out really great. My mom recommended it. And so I picked it up.
I want to read that. That sounds delightful. Sounds really great.
All right. How are you going to beat this, Sarah? What are you reading?
Oh, The Ghost Tree by Christina Hendon.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm having the same problem as Hannah. Like, I just can't focus on anything. I'm like halfway through it and I really want to finish it. But like every time I try to read something, it's just like, it's so hot.
My brain is having such a hard time retaining information. Yeah. Like I'll read a couple sentences and be like, I didn't actually read any of that. Like my eyes just moved across the page, but exactly, I didn't actually read it.
I even had that problem when I was trying to do the research for this episode too.
I'm just like,
you write a sentence, you're like, why is my body wet?
Exactly.
Distracted by me.
So
heat waves.
Yeah. I couldn't even play I was trying to play a video game yesterday because I was just like, okay, well, I can't read, I can't draw, so maybe I'll just do something mind numbing. And I couldn't even focus enough to actually like do the game properly. Yeah. I kept just dying. Yeah. I was like, okay.
Yeah.
Cool. So I'm just gonna lay here and wish for death.
You don't have video games you play when you can't do anything either. Okay, that's just me.
I was playing my video my game that I do when I can't do anything.
No, I have
else.
Levels of games I can play, like, okay, I really can't think, so I'm going to just stick to this one.
I booted up Dragon Age 2, which is the game that I play when I'm, like, completely brain dead and can't do anything else, because I can play that game in my sleep, but I was so hot that I couldn't even function.
I don't think the heat messes with my brain.
My cognitive function goes way down.
Mine goes down, but... I don't help it any. So
is that like a science thing? Is that now we gotta look up more stuff.
No, we have to look up more stuff. All right.
Can you do some research?
No. Next time on the word worm.
While your levels of cognitive.
You're the only one of us who knows how to look stuff up.
Next time on the word worm, we're talking about science.
Thanks for listening, everybody, and we'll see you next time.
You've been listening to The Word Warren on AU Radio Podcast Network. If you're interested in any of the titles from today's episode, you can check out the link tree in the description to visit Adventure Underground at their online store. or their virtual storefronts hosted by bookshop.org and libro.fm. Physical, digital, or audio, Adventures Underground has you covered. If you'd like to contact the show, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Just check out that link tree in the description. Or you can email the show at podcast@advunderground.com. You can also support this show and all the awesome shows on AU Radio that you love by becoming a patron of the AU Radio Podcast Network. You can find us at patreon.com/advunderground. For as little as $1 a month, you can help us continue to create these shows, and soon, many more.
You've been listening to the AU Radio Podcast Network. Music is provided by CubbyPurplePlanet.com and BenSound.com. Views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Adventures Underground. AU Radio is a production of Adventures Underground. Copyright 2018. All rights reserved.